See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hawkeyes fall at home to Michigan State on Thursday night. We'll get your thoughts about it. We'll look ahead to Sunday with Iowa and Minnesota with the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm. We'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six and a whole lot more coming your way on a Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. A chilly Friday. We welcome you into the Gym Class, taking it through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. We're going to have basketball tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We're going to have basketball for you tonight. We'll start things off at 5:50 on the North Gym, 107.5 FM. They'll break away at that time, as it'll be Cedar Rapids Jefferson hosting Cedar Rapids Kennedy in a girl-boy doubleheader. We'll have the girls' game at 5:50 on 107.5 FM. Boys' game to follow the Hall of Fame ceremonies tonight. Mark Dukes tells me, what, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour? What are you thinking?
We've cut it down from last year.
Mr. Committee Guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that'll
short and sweet.
Short and sweet, but with a lot of dignity.
Indeed.
So that'll be coming up between games tonight. And then the boys' game on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. South Gym, 106.3 FM. Morgan Hawk with the call tonight, as it'll be girls MVC basketball, Iowa City West at Iowa City Liberty. Should pass us along. The City High Xavier boys game will be played tonight, but it will be at a different location. They had a water main break at City High. You've got all this stuff going on and finally get a chance to play a game, and now a water main breaks, which is quite common when temperatures get to where they are. They're going to play it at Southeast Junior High at the same times tonight. So if you're a Xavier City High fan, go to Southeast Junior High instead of City High tonight. That's where that game will be played. And again, at the regular times. So we're going to bring you basketball. And then a good one tomorrow, about 3 o'clock, all three of our frequencies. It'll be the game of the year in the WAMAC, Center Point Urbana and Marion coming up. Steve Dozier and I will have the call on that one tomorrow afternoon for you right here on KGYM. You said it wasn't so bad outside.
Well, when you have to walk just a few feet between your house and the vehicle and the parking lot and the front door here. Of course, it's not too bad. And it's not ideal conditions, but, you know, no schools, but you can play basketball. I'm glad they're playing in many locations because the postponements have stacked up big time already.
They're like cordwood outside as far as the postponements are concerned, and they're basically running out of days to get the games in. So, hey, try to get them in. And it's different because you don't have to sit outside for a school bus at this time or whatever the case may be. If you're going to the game, you're getting in your car like you did, going to the game, going to the gym, coming back home. Yes, it's cold, but we can play.
If you can't get out, listen to Scott Unash tonight.
That's right.
Doubleheader, Kennedy and Jefferson.
Yep, girl-boy doubleheader. We'll have it for you beginning at 5:50, first game on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Lot to get to. Mike Grimm's going to join us coming up to talk about Iowa and Minnesota on Sunday up at Williams Arena, the barn in Minneapolis. And we will kick that around coming up for you in a little bit. We'll have the pick six, the penultimate pick six, coming up today. You like that? Throw that in there.
It's next to last, huh?
That's next to last. That is next to last. But start things off. Last night, Carver Hawkeye Arena, pretty raucous crowd. Very close to capacity despite the chilly temperatures and et cetera. And it looked good for about 26 and a half minutes last night. And then Michigan State, actually their renaissance started at the beginning of the second half. But Michigan State turned what was an 8-point deficit into a double-digit lead, and they cruised from there for the victory last night to stay unbeaten in Big Ten play.
Yeah, what was a 24-2 run, and as you said, it looked very promising for Iowa for 25 to 27 minutes, but then it just it all went haywire. And as Mike Loss of the Gazette wrote today, the pipes froze. Quite apropos for, you know, this kind of weather. But Cassius Winston took over. What a phenomenal player he is.
He is amazing.
Michigan State did what Iowa does well and got to the free throw line and shot it well. What was it, 20 out of 21 from the line?
Missed one free throw all night.
Yeah. Rebounding, Michigan State dominated. And I was shooting just, I mean, in the first half, there were, what, a handful of bunnies that just rimmed out for Iowa. And it happened in the second half when I was up by 8, trying to extend the lead. Guard play, 4 out of 20 for Iowa's guards, Moss, Bohannon, and Wieskamp. Coming off a great shooting performance against Illinois. Michigan State's a much better defensive team. I thought it focused on locking down Bohannon for one thing. But
yes, they did.
During that run, Iowa could not get back inside as it did early in the first half when Tyler Cook went off for 11 quick ones. And that faucet got shut off as well.
Yeah, Nick Ward kind of got going. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. That is the phone line. That is the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City for over 70 years. And, yeah, when Michigan State came out, they came out right early for halftime for the second half, right after the dog act, by the way, which was amazing. Love frisbee-catching dogs. I can see that every halftime. You could just tell there was a different mindset, and the Spartans went full-out physical in the second half. Izzo was not happy with his team. He was not happy with them in the first half, wasn't happy with the officiating in the first half, and I think he planted some seeds in the officials. You look up with 10 minutes to go in the second half, and Michigan State, despite their physical play, had 2 fouls to Iowa 7. And I think that played a big, big part because I do think it was – I'm not saying they did a bad job. I just think it was officiated a little different in the second half.
I don't think Fran McCaffrey thought it was very equitable.
No, Fran didn't like the officiating. Didn't have a chance to say it, but he let his actions kind of say it a little bit more than what his words could have been. Let's go to Paul in Mount Vernon to kick things off on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Happy Friday to you guys.
You too.
Hi, Paul. Thanks.
Hope you're staying warm.
I'll try. Hey, I just want to say I was really proud of the effort that the Iowa men had last night. They came out to play. They are really, really good. They're on the verge of being a good team to a great team. It's just that six-minute stretch where they went 14-0 there on that run Michigan State did. I feel like Iowa just made really bad, bad shot selection there. Inside the paint there. I mean, they were just throwing the ball up, trying to get fouls. And Frank can kind of complain about the officiating all he wants, but if you're just going to go out there and throw the ball and not really try to make the shot, you're just not going to get the call. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't care what level of basketball you're at, high school, college, or pro. If you just go up there and throw the ball up without jump stopping or trying to do a pump fake, you're just not going to get a call. But if they can just clean that up, make better shot selection, they could be a really great team.
So you're not throwing in the towel after last night, Paul?
Oh, heck no. If they can just, you know, get better every day in practice and in games, you know, by the time March rolls around, they can maybe make a run.
There you go. Appreciate the comments, Paul. Have a good day.
You too, guys.
319-366-1600.
I tend to agree with Paul on the shot selection. There's certain shots that you don't want Iowa to take. You don't want Tyler Cook shooting a 10 to 12 foot jump shot from the elbow.
Which Michigan State forced him to do on 2 different occasions.
He does not make them.
Luka Garza did make a 3.
You don't want Jordan Bohannon shooting from Slater Hall.
And he had to do that. The one shot he made,
he
was
did make one.
A very long
yeah.
one last night.
But and Garza, I thought a couple times, the spacing was just not quite right. Instead of 2 or 3 feet from the basket, he was 5 or 6, and it just disrupted his game that much, I thought. So
Michigan State got physical with the Iowa guards. They got physical with Cook on the inside. They got physical with Garza in the inside. What really made Fran McCaffrey go off there was one point just ahead of that television timeout where Nick Ward had Tyler Cook grabbed by the jersey and just stretched it out, and it was not called. And that's what kind of.
You think Izzo has that much effect on officials? You can say yes.
Heck yes.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Couple comments on the hurt team.
And I'm not saying the officials lost Iowa the game. Michigan State's a flat-out better team than Iowa. Iowa had to play a perfect game last night to win. They shot it well in the first half. It wasn't a perfect half, but Michigan State, I think, helped with that. They didn't play a very good first half. They played a great second half. And much like in bowling, when you're giving up some handicap and the other team goes off, you're in trouble.
I didn't think I'd hear the bowling analogy on Iowa-Michigan State, but there it is. Comments on the Hurtin and Stocker Jeweler text line, 319-366-1600. Ryan, the food delivery guy. Michigan State is a possible Final Four team, and it shows that Iowa has a lot of work to do, despite that the season is not lost.
No, not at all.
31-07, you can't get out-rebounded by 16 and expect to beat a team like Michigan State. Also, agreed, Cook cannot make the 10- to 12-foot shot that he has forced almost every game.
No, I don't think he's forced that every game.
Many games.
His best games are when he is inside, patrolling the paint. And Michigan State did force him outside.
I almost think
on
that
a couple of occasions
he's
last night.
Been told he needs to develop that medium-range jump shot to make it to the next level.
Yes.
And that's very true. But up till now, it hasn't helped your team.
319-366-1600. I also thought of this analogy last night. Michigan State is very much like Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
There you go.
They've got Winston. They've got Ward. Each year, they have two superstars, basically, on this team. And the rest know their roles. McQuaid, people like that coming off the bench.
And they play it well.
And they play it super well. And Tom Izzo teaches that. Whatever you think of Tom Izzo, he's a terrific coach. They get offensive rebounds. They are quick off their feet. They've got the jumpers going down from guys that you can't leave open when you sag down on a Nick Ward. It is a well-oiled machine that he has in East Lansing, and it takes a lot to beat those guys.
A couple more comments, 2662. So I'm confused what's Connor McCaffrey's role in the lineup. He comes in, doesn't shoot much at all, just seems like he's just in there. We will bounce back in Minnesota. Minnesota is struggling. Listen, Connor McCaffrey handles the ball well, is a good passer, decent defender, and probably doesn't need to score for Iowa to be successful. That's my opinion.
When he at Madison Square Garden, he felt it in those two games. Best offensive games he's had of the year by far. Connor McCaffrey is what he's going to be. And even in high school, he wasn't a great shooter. He was a streaky shooter. He was not the number one scoring option on those teams. He's not the number one scoring option here. If it comes down to 5 seconds to go on the shot clock and Connor's got it, he's not looking to shoot it. He's looking to dish.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got to shoot it, that's not his thing. But he's going to take care of the ball for the most part, and he's going to play some solid defense. That's what he's going to do.
Here's a comment from Doug in Coralville. Although this team is better this year defensively, I'm still wait and see. Because the Big Ten record of teams Iowa has beaten, Scott, is 9-30.
Yeah, that's why Minnesota's a big game coming up. They haven't set the world on fire, but Michigan after that, but you got to take care of the people like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
You got to beat them, and Iowa has done that, and then get a couple from the upper crust and get you over 500. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Kyle in Cedar Rapids. Wants to comment about the atmosphere at Carver last night between Iowa and Sparty. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Yeah, actually, I just had a question. And great talk so far. That was a great stat that I think you said Doug just said about the Iowa win. But I wanted to ask you guys about the atmosphere because unfortunately, I was real young when Carver came into existence, so I never did get to go to a game at the old Fieldhouse. My dad graduated from the University of Iowa, and he tells me about, you know, how great of an atmosphere that was. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, Raft and Brando were doing the game last night, and, you know, I know that's part of their job is to talk about the environment and everything, but I just was wondering if you guys could kind of compare, you know, Carver on a really good night to back in some of the days when the Fieldhouse was rocking and rolling. I was just kind of wondering if you guys could kind of make a comparison between the two. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. You were there last night.
Yeah.
You have a better look than I do.
Good atmosphere last night. Was it top 10 atmosphere of all time? No. When Iowa was going well, early in the second half as well as late in the second half when the threes were going down, that place was loud. As far as comparing it, now, first of all, the biggest complaint, you know it, I know it, Mark, over the years when Iowa moved from the Iowa Fieldhouse to Carver-Hawkeye Arena was that the seating, the way it's laid out, students don't ring the court like they do at the Breslin Center, at Chrysler Center, at other places. They're in the end zone behind the band, behind the opponent's basket in the second half, which, you know, whatever. You either like it or you don't like it. The biggest criticism of Carver has been people leaving early since it was built in the early 80s. Happened again last night. Now, obviously, when Michigan State got up by 16 or so, that kind of helped push
people out. Well, I think I might have left, yeah.
But it's never like it was in the Fieldhouse. I only attended a couple games. I was very young in the Fieldhouse. But in a big game, that place shook. Carver is that loud at times, but not as a whole, if you will. I mean, a little noise in the Fieldhouse made a lot of racket. You got to make a lot of noise. Carver was built with aesthetics in mind, concerts, etc. You got to have a lot of noise to make Carver get nasty. And at times it does. Just needs to do it more often, I think.
I've covered games in both venues, and the fact that they are constructed differently has a lot to do with it. My experience at Carver-Hawkeye is that the fans are reactive. They're not proactive by and large.
Very true, very true.
They are not loud until the team induces them to be loud. By and large, there are times when the fans are vocal and they try to spur on the team, but I mean, the construction of Carver-Hawkeye Arena and the Fieldhouse is so much different. Steel bleachers in the Fieldhouse, it could get rocking so quickly. And go back to the Ralph Miller days and Lute Olson days in there, and the early Lute Olson days, by the way. But it could get very loud in a hurry. I think it has a lot to do with the times that those structures were and are used. And I think it has a lot to do with the structure of the two. But I maintain that Iowa fans are mainly sit in their seats and reactive instead of proactive.
Especially in basketball. And I don't know, it's not going to change, I don't think. And you have a percentage of the crowd, no matter what the score is, no matter who the opponent is. Duke with Zion Williamson could be here. Iowa could be up 13 with 5 minutes to go, and you're going to have a portion of that crowd always leave. That's the way it goes.
3107 on the text line. The atmosphere or lack thereof stems from student section and the lack of getting them involved. Yeah, you see the Breslin Center and the students are front and center.
Ring the court.
They're at midcourt and beyond,
yeah.
Extending to the end lines. They're up close and personal.
And they get after it. They get after it. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. We're going to talk some more basketball, but we're going to talk Iowa, Minnesota. They come up on Sunday. Big game for both the Gophers and the Hawkeyes. Mike Grimm, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, is going to join us when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Graduate Iowa City is awesome, right? Well, it just got better. Topgolf Swing Suite is now open on the second floor. Relax with your friends, play a few rounds, enjoy great food and your favorite drinks. Swing it after work, on the weekends, or throw an epic party. Play golf, baseball, hockey, even carnival games, and zombie dodgeball. It's just $15 per person per hour. Come have some fun with your friends and family. Everybody's welcome at Topgolf. Now open on the second floor of Graduate Iowa City Hotel on the Ped Mall.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. Now you can get even more people together in their new party room in Marion, or come to the Edgewood location party room. Either one is a great place for your game watch party. While you're there, try La Cantina's own brewed beer, Zapata. If you'd rather bring the party to your place, La Cantina would be happy to cater their crunchy, zesty, crowd-pleasing favorites. La Cantina, in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in downtown Cedar Rapids, in Marion.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, you'll find more than just comfortable furniture. You'll discover a no-pressure shopping experience, thousands of options, and free design services. We call it Comfort Redesigned. It's the Super Weekend Sale. Friday through Monday, save 30% on everything, plus special financing available, and get guaranteed delivery on in-stock items in time for the big game. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably. Minimum monthly payments with approved credit. Order by 1/28/19. See store for details.
Play football.
Play quarterback.
Check, Blue 89.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play baseball.
Play shortstop.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play volleyball.
Play the net.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Your smart speaker is your home radio now, so just say, Alexa, play KGYM to listen to the gym class, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, or area high school and college sports. Play ball. Play KGYM.
By the way, before we leave the discussion about Carver Hawkeye Arena and the atmosphere, sitting there last night, the sit-down crowd was back last night, Mark.
Explain.
Well, when things...
Somebody stands up in front of you?
Well,
and...
when things are going well for Iowa and people stand up, they're up by 8 points, and you're trying to cheer on the team, people around you, and then you've got folks... You know, that came out for the first time last night. That's not good for the atmosphere. It'll be a good atmosphere on Sunday up at the barn, Williams Arena. And to talk about Iowa and Minnesota, our friend Mike Grimm, formerly of Eastern Iowa, now, of course, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, joining us here on a chilly Friday in Eastern Iowa. And, Mike, you know the sit-down crowd, right?
I can tell you this, I'll be sitting the whole game on Sunday. I will not be standing.
In your perch, right?
Yes, in our little perch. Yeah, no, it must be not just a Iowa-only argument, because fans here in Minnesota oftentimes will debate that through Twitter or message boards and those kind of things where, yeah, I had a guy tell me to sit down last night or, you know, Saturday at the football game, and Minnesota just scored a touchdown. So I think that must be not an uncommon thing. I am under the belief that if you're able and willing, you should be able to stand if things are exciting, and obviously be self-aware. If there's people unavailable or unable to stand around you, then be courteous. Otherwise, stand, and someone else can stand if that's the case.
Mike, where is this Minnesota team right now? Most recently buried against Illinois, but then played Michigan off its feet.
Yeah, I think they're probably about right when you look at the standings. They're right in the middle of the whole thing at 4-4. They could have won that game on the road. There's a couple of things. The Illini game, you know, is just one of those nights. Nothing went right. Like, Illinois has not shot the ball very well most of the year, and they were 6 of 8 on threes in, like, the first 5 minutes, and Minnesota was 1 of 7. So all of a sudden you're down 20 before you know what hit you, and, you know, that can happen, and then it's hard on the road. That's a tough place to play even when the Fighting Illini aren't very good. So the next thing you know, at one point I think it was like a 36-point game, and I was just hoping the plane wouldn't crash on the way home the way the night was going. And then you are on the road. The next time you're on the road, you're at Michigan, the team that's ranked 5th in the country, and they can't throw it in the ocean. And so, you know, ahead of time, I'm thinking, well, the way the Gophers, if they're going to, you know, pull off some sort of stunning upset, is hopefully Michigan's cold, and they were. And unfortunately, the Gophers hit a cold spell themselves in the middle of the second half. So
you know, they're a team that is going to be an underdog probably in six or seven of their last 12 games, maybe more, you know. I would guess Iowa will be a slight favorite Sunday, but if you're looking at it from those that wear maroon and gold, that's close to a must win. I mean, you're sitting at 4-4, and I think the magic number is probably 10 Big Ten wins if you can get to 10-10, because the rest of the schedule will present all kinds of really good opportunities to get quadrant one wins, and that's what apparently this selection committee will look at. But if you look at the rest of the schedule, you're going to have to pull off a few upsets, and I would think at home you better win that game Sunday, and you're probably an underdog if you're Minnesota.
Well, I was just going to ask you that, Mike, and you pointed it out that whoever drops that game coming up on Sunday at Williams Arena probably going to find themselves squarely on the bubble. I mean, Minnesota would be a game under 500. Iowa would be right at the 500 mark, and then you start getting that talk going, and that certainly doesn't help things.
Yeah, I mean, what Iowa has going forward a little bit compared to Minnesota is the, you know, they're going to use this new net ranking. It's an interesting metric. I think there's some good and there's some bad. I like that the NCAA tried to improve the RPI. I'm not quite honestly a huge fan that it rewards efficiency, which is mostly a predictive measure. And which is fine, but to me, I'm not that big of a fan of using a metric that's going to predict something that might not happen. So, like, if you play really efficient but lose, you are not penalized very much. If you play, and this is where Minnesota's problem has been, they're not very efficient on either end of the floor, but they have enough good athletes, and they play well enough at times that they're winning games. So they have a better record than all kinds of teams that are ranked way ahead of them, but they're not as efficient. So they got a bunch of wins they weren't very efficient in, and consequently they were dropping in the rankings while they were winning games. And to me, I prefer it to be based on what you've done, not what you might do or how you play, but how the outcome came. So Iowa's higher. Most of the teams in the Big Ten that are on the NCAA list would be higher than Minnesota. So that's why it becomes an important time for Minnesota to try to start stacking up some wins somehow, some way.
Mike, where do you think Minnesota may be able to exploit Iowa? Isn't through Jordan Murphy, or is it with Amir Coffey? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that quite honestly, it comes down to shooting, and I'm not sure it matters who the opponent is for Minnesota right now. Games where they have hit some threes and knocked shots down, they've won, and games in which they've struggled to shoot, and there's been a lot of them, they have really struggled in. I think the modern day basketball now, and I think it's even changed in the last 5 years. We watch what the Warriors have done, and it is a situation where there's so many more threes being taken. It's hard to win if you can't make a lot of threes, and this team really can't. So it's going to be one of those deals that they have to hope the last 12 games of the season they start making shots. So are there matchups? Probably. I mean, Murphy, you know, he gets a double-double about every night, so that kind of becomes a constant. You need to have that. But they're going to need Amir Coffey and Gabe Kalscher and Dupree McRae to knock down some shots. From a Minnesota perspective, Mark, the good news is for them that they have made shots in their own building, and so that certainly has to be a hope again this weekend for Minnesota. They basically, they just have to make shots to win, and if they don't, they won't, you know, they will have a long afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting afternoon as far as matchups are concerned, and basketball comes down to a game of matchups. And, you know, for Minnesota, who's going to get Tyler Cook? But I think for Iowa, who's going to get Coffey? I just think that's going to be a fun chess matchup between Pitino and Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. I have not watched Iowa enough to know how much Fran has played zone. I know in the past he has not been shy about playing zone. I watched much of that Michigan State game last night, and there wasn't a lot of zone. But I would think that that we will see some zone defense from Iowa because, like I said, Minnesota has had some shooting issues. I think luckily for Minnesota, there's not a lot of teams that play zone in the Big Ten, and that has helped a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some zone, and I think that could alleviate any potential matchup issues Iowa might have defensively. We'll see. I mean, obviously, I don't know what the scouting report is from Fran's side of things, but it wouldn't shock me. And again, I have not watched enough Iowa yet to know how much zone they've played here this season. I know in the past, Fran's been more than willing to play it.
A lot of people would say not enough zone over the last couple of games.
Right, right.
Especially against a guy named Cassius Winston last night, but who knows?
That Michigan State team's something, man. That they, the Final Four is up here in Minneapolis this year at the Viking Stadium, and I would be surprised. I mean, weird stuff, right? I think weird stuff would have to happen if we don't see that Michigan State team here in April that weekend for the Final Four. They're really good, and they're, you know, they guard, they rebound like they always do, and they're getting elite point guard play, and that's a key in the NCAA tournament. I thought they had a chance to get to the Final Four last year, and I forget even now who they ran into, but I think it was a little fluky situation there, and Izzo's not going to bounce out early back-to-back years. So, you know what? I know Iowa fans were probably a little discouraged with the final outcome in the last 10 minutes of that game, but I think there were some things, because that Michigan State team is so good, I think there were some things that Iowa fans can come out of that feeling okay about their team with.
Mike, we just finished a short discussion, listener-driven, on the difference between Carver-Hawkeye Arena and the old Iowa Fieldhouse, and for me, I think Williams Arena is more Fieldhouse than Carver-Hawkeye Arena. What kind of home court advantages Williams Arena for folks that have never been there?
Well, the building, when it gets going, is really good. I'll say this: I don't think it gets going as much as it should. I think it has been. A couple of things. I think nowadays it's just like you said, Scott, earlier too, with that there is this idea that if you stand up and yell, you're being rude. And I think we're in a generation now where watching games in the living room has become normal, and so that's kind of where you take it at the arena. So I'll be honest, it hasn't. When it gets going, like the late in the Penn State game last Saturday was loud. The Nebraska game when they played that first go-around in December was as good as it's been in a long time. So when it gets going, it's as good as there is in the league. I just think from a Minnesota perspective, it should get going more, and it has not. And some of that certainly has to do with Minnesota. I mean, when a team struggles at times shooting, it wasn't that long ago. They only won 8 games in a year. That gets a little hard to get going. But I would anticipate, Mark, that it, especially if the game's a close game on Sunday, that you'll see the old Williams Arena. And I think that, like the old Iowa Fieldhouse with the upper deck kind of hanging right near the sideline, I don't think there's any doubt acoustically those kind of buildings are going to be louder than say, the bowl kind of arenas, the bowl, mm-hmm. like BOWL, like a Carver-Hawkeye. A lot of the Big Ten arenas are that bowl look, the Chrysler Center, the Breslin Center. And then you got the NBA style arenas now at Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State. But I think that old Fieldhouse look is, probably acoustically creates the highest decibel.
Mike Grimm, voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, joining us for a few more minutes here at 3:36 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. What's Richard Pitino's status right now? Do they need to make the NCAA tournament? Do they not? Kind of where does he stand at this point?
It's a good question. He's locked into a longer term contract. He's got a pretty good buyout. I'm going to preface this by and you would expect the radio guy to back his own coach on the school he's covering. I'm a huge fan of Richard Pitino. I know there's some negative connotations with that last name, but he's a funny guy. He's kind of a self-deprecating guy. I've been around the block a time or two. I've hosted a lot of different coaches shows. His is the best. I mean, he's just really good on it. He's honest. He's like I said, self-deprecating, funny, thoughtful. He doesn't just go through the motion. So I like him. I guess that's the way I'll set it up by saying I hope that he can get into the tournament, because that would certainly ensure more years here for him. And I do think there's a lot of good high school talent in the state of Minnesota that are highly interested in seeing how this year turns out and might be talked into staying home, which has been kind of an issue. Last year's recruiting class was the first in a while. It included 3 Minnesotans who were all highly ranked, and 2 of them are really well, two of them are starting and two of them are contributors. So I do think that it'll be an interesting question. One, if he misses the tournament but barely, that might be different than, like I said, they could be underdogs in 7 or 8 of their last 12. And if things go south, then, as you know, it can get toxic pretty fast in a big city market. So I hope that they win some games, they get into the tournament. I mean, obviously, from a selfish standpoint, I'd love to see him make a run. And that would ensure that he'll be here. But I think that, is the seat hot? I don't think it's like scorching hot, but it also, I'm sure he knows that he'd be well advised not to, lose 8 of his last 10 games as the season winds down too.
Mike, strong finish to the football season, including a bowl win. How did PJ Fleck's recruiting go?
It was good. I mean, he locked in. It's a high number class because they didn't have a real high senior class. A lot of those guys that were seniors and some that should have been seniors with the 3 coaching changes in 3 years, some of them didn't stick around. Some of them chose to move on. Some of them, I suppose, were encouraged to look elsewhere that didn't fit. And PJ has admitted that, hey, his style is not for everyone. So he was understanding of there might be a situation there. So coming out of year 2, there was a lot of scholarships available. So they filled up. I think right now it's a top 40 class. There was a time early when they were getting a bunch of early commitments, it was ranked the number 1 class in the Big Ten West. I don't think that's the case anymore. But they've got, that they, for the first time in the last 2 years, last year's class and this year's class, will have stacked top 40 classes together back to back. That's not been done. And this is my 13th year. That's not been done in my time. And this is not a knock in any way on Jerry Kill's regime. That was a little different style. That was a coaching staff that had been together for a long time. They knew what kind of player fit their style, and they were going up against MAC schools a lot, Conference USA schools a lot, and they were really good at identifying guys that were Big Ten quality players that weren't getting recruited heavily by Big Ten schools, and they made a living on that. There's guys in the NFL now that didn't have a lot of offers from Big Ten universities. Well, that has changed now. PJ Fleck has gone nose-to-nose with Nebraska and Wisconsin and even Iowa at times and other schools, Northwestern and the Big Ten, where for the first time in a few years, Mark, you're seeing where a recruit that PJ Fleck has landed and signed has multiple Power 5 offers, not just maybe 1 or 2. And when you're starting to out-recruit teams that you're supposed to be beating or that your fans, hope that you're supposed to be beating, then that, I think, can change the tide. It was, the first time in 15 years they had won against Wisconsin, so that was good. They won the bowl game in a dominating fashion against Georgia Tech. Obviously, Hawkeye fans are well aware of trying to be dominant against Georgia Tech in a bowl game, and the Gophers followed suit like Iowa did back in that Orange Bowl years ago. So I think things are trending positively. They get an above 500 record. Almost everybody's back on both sides of the ball. They were very young this past year, including their best receiver. Their 1,000-yard rusher was a third stringer to start the year. Remember, they had Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith. Both had been leading rushers in different years. They both had season-ending injuries, got medical redshirts. So this is going to be bizarre. The Gophers will have 3 running backs in the backfield that have all, 1, rushed for 1,000 yards in a season before, and 2, have all at different times in their career led the Gophers in rushing in a single season. So they'll have plenty of weapons, and now it'll just be a fact of can they go out and win games on Saturday and take whatever that next step will be. Like the first step was just getting through year 1. Then it was can you get to a bowl game and then win it, and you did. And now obviously you want to try to propel yourself into that next tier of bowl games. Can they get to Florida? Can they get to a bowl game in California and see where they can go from there?
Real quick, Mike, as a Twins fan, I have to ask you about the state of the Twins. Joe Mauer retiring, Molitor out, Baldelli in, some off-season acquisitions. What's the temperature for the Twins up there?
Yeah, it's okay. In fact, I was just, believe it or not, Mark, at a Twins media luncheon this afternoon. They have their Twins Fest this weekend, so they have a lunch, and Rocco Baldelli was one of the guys that talked. I guess this is maybe a weird comparison, but in the day and age where, like, everyone who maybe brushed elbows with Sean McVay wants to, they want to be a head coach. I mean, an NFL team – you know, if you had a phone conversation in 1999 with Sean McVay, you're a candidate now, it seems like, for head coach. And I'm not against that. I mean, he's been very good. But I think the Twins have tried to go out and find the baseball's version of Sean McVay, basically. A young guy, I think Rocco Baldelli's like 37. He came in, remember, he's a high draft pick, got injured. He's been around the Tampa Bay Rays organization, which, say what you want, they've drafted very well. Now they've had to trade some of that talent because of payroll and those kind of things. And I think that the Twins are a much richer version of the Rays, but I think they also kind of have to pay attention to how the Rays go about their business and do it themselves. And so this is a weird way to say it, but I think they're trying to find their Sean McVay, of course, the Rams coach, and Baldelli is a guy that they can do it. Now, I wouldn't say like it's off the charts excitement, like people are lining up to buy season tickets, but I think that everyone's worried about pitching. And as a Twins fan, I'm sure, Mark, you are too, but you know, they added Nelson Cruz, a guy I think who's hit more home runs than anybody in the last 5 years, you know, to add to a lineup that should have pretty good pop, especially if Miguel Sano and former Cedar Rapids Colonel Byron Buxton can each, you know, come out of their injury-filled year last year and have good years this year. So I think the lineup will be okay. Pitching, we'll have to wait and see. And we'll see if Baldelli indeed is the next, you know, baseball version of Sean McVay. And if he is, this team is in the weakest division in baseball. Maybe they can surprise some people.
Beautiful new alternate jerseys, though. So they got that going for them, which is good, which is good. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we wish you safe travels and the rest of the Big Ten season, and have fun with Iowa, Minnesota. Always good to catch up with you, man.
Good, guys. Always enjoy it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Grimm, the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, former Eastern Iowan from Manchester way, here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Before we get to a break real quick, yes, there's golf going on in places a lot warmer than it is right here. Tiger Watch, let us know. I think he's going to make the cut, right?
You must know. Through 15 holes, Tiger Woods, 2 under par, 4 under par for the tournament. He's inside the cut line, tied for 42nd. Your leader right now, number one player in the world, Justin Rose, 1 up on Billy Horschel, 2 up on Hideki Matsuyama.
And it's Tiger's 9 off the lead.
That's correct.
About at the end of his second round. So unless he does something really weird, he will be around for the weekend, which makes everybody very happy.
Zach Johnson not involved in this tournament.
No, not playing this week. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we will catch up with the rest of the panel for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 right here on KGYM. More to come after this.
Ready to make your commute more entertaining, more interesting, even more productive? Then try 100% ad-free listening on Audible. Each month, you'll get 2 Audible originals, exclusive titles you can't find anywhere else, plus a credit good for any audiobook and unlimited access to exclusive fitness and wellness programs, all for just $14.95. The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Go to audible.com today to start your free 30-day trial. And your first audiobook is on us.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. And if your check engine light is on, our free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you learn what the problem is so you can fix it the first time. And the best part is, it'll do it for free, helping you save time and money down the road. Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up with the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Play football.
Play quarterback.
Check, blue 89.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play baseball.
Play shortstop.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play volleyball.
Play the net.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Your smart speaker is your home radio now, so just say, Alexa, play KGYM to listen to the gym class, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, or area high school and college sports. Play ball! Play KGYM.
And we're actually going to have some basketball coming up tonight for you. Kennedy and Jefferson, Hall of Fame night over at Jefferson. And that will get underway. Girl-boy doubleheader at 550, 107.5 FM will break away a little bit early for that. Boys game will be on both 1600 and 107.5 FM. And then South Gym tonight, 106.3 FM. It'll be Liberty hosting West in girls basketball coming up tonight for you right here on KGYM. Kyle's in the studio. Dave's here. Todd's here. Alex is here. Kyle looks like he's raided Greg Brady's wardrobe.
Todd already did this yesterday. The coat is very furry, yes.
Kyle was at the center of controversy last week on the pick six.
Uncovered our very first scandal that I'm aware of.
Scandal's kind of a strong word.
And, of course, it revolved around Tom Brady, didn't it?
It did
indeed.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. Kyle and I tied 4-2. For whatever reason, I thought it was in my head the tiebreaker was Mahomes' passing yards, which in that case I would have won. Todd is the commissioner.
Stolen valor.
Kyle
shame.
Actually wins because
shame.
It was Brady.
Shame.
It's a great name
was
for a racehorse.
Was it a deflating loss, Mark?
No, I was just happy to go above 500 one week.
Well, we got lucky, and there are some semi-interesting basketball games tonight, including a Big Ten game. We'll put that on the picks along with the Pro Bowl this weekend as we basically just sort of grind our way through another weekend waiting for the final pick six, which is next week with the Super Bowl. Kyle's going to bat lead off tonight. Of course, we have to pick an Ivy League basketball game. Yale is at home hosting Brown, and Yale is a 7-point favorite.
I thought long and hard about this.
No, you didn't.
Everything I know about Brown and Yale, all indications point towards Yale. Period.
What can Brown do for you? The answer to that is not cover the 7-point spread tonight. I once worked with a guy who went to Yale, so I'm going to pick the Bulldogs.
Very good.
I think I have a cousin that goes to Yale, so I'm going to take Yale. He's way smarter than me.
You think you have a cousin who goes to Yale?
I have a cousin.
Okay.
Or a second cousin.
Okay. So you think you're related to somebody.
We have the same last name.
Right. Very good. A guy that could have gotten into Yale or Brown is Dave Alec.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll do anything, man.
Well, Yale's on a 7-game winning streak after beating Brown last Saturday on the road. Brown is 0-6 against the spread the last 6 games in the Ivy League. Yale has won 9 of the last 10 games, with their only loss being at Duke. Playing at home 6 days later, they cover and win this game. I'll take the Bulldogs. You're absolutely right, Dave.
No.
I'm very sorry.
Easy.
He had the wrong starting point on the sheet.
I need to be relieved of my duties.
He's got the wrong order on the sheet.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Just for the, what I could start this off with Cliff Clavin. What are two schools that I can't get into? No. Just for the sake of argument, I'll go with Brown. Just for the sake of the panel.
Yeah, it all adds up to Yale, having Dave reference the win last week on the road. Yale's undefeated at home. I'll take the points. Give me Brown.
Thank you, Mark.
Creighton is hosting Butler tonight. The Blue Jays are a 1.5-point favorite in Omaha. I get to bat leadoff on this one. I can't pick against Butler and my old pal LaVal Jordan, so give me I'm 2-for-2 on Bulldogs here. Give me Butler.
Alex.
I'm going to go with Creighton. They're at home, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the home team. Give me Creighton.
Dave.
Creighton has made 231 three-pointers this year, which is second nationally and at a 43% clip.
Butler won the first game at home, 84-69, but the Bulldogs are only 8-17 against the spread in the last 25 road games, and they have only won one road game this year, and I believe that was at DePaul.
Everybody wins at DePaul.
The home teams are 7-1, the last 8 in this series. Give me Creighton.
I wish that wasn't the case that everybody wins at DePaul. You just don't go into Omaha and win. Creighton's very good at home, and they're going to get revenge. Give me the Jays in this one.
I'm going to stick with the Bees. Give me Butler.
Butler beat Creighton earlier this year, and that started a four-game losing streak for them, their first such losing streak since 1999. Creighton has a vengeance to address tonight. Give me Creighton.
Game number 3 is a Big Ten contest. Indiana hosts Michigan, and the Wolverines are a 4-point favorite. Alex Kuhn.
I think Michigan's starting to get exposed. I don't think that they are as good as people hype them up to be. They did not play well at home against Minnesota. I know Indiana has lost 5 straight, but they're on their home floor. I think they bounce back. I think they win outright.
Indiana lost their 5th straight game on Tuesday to Northwestern. Indiana is 1-5 against the spread, their last 6 games in the Big Ten. Michigan is 21-8-1 against the spread, their last 30 road games. I'll take Michigan. Give the points.
Alex, you're wrong. Michigan's really good. But Indiana needs this game, and they are going to get it. I will take the Hoosiers.
Alex is right. Michigan has been exposed, and Indiana is on a slide. Indiana's at home. All indications point towards taking the points, but I will not. Give me Michigan.
Indiana's struggling, and Alex and I talked to somebody on Tuesday or Wednesday who really just did not paint a good picture of Indiana. I don't think they're in good shape. Give me the Wolverines.
Was it Tom Crean?
Must have been a memorable interview.
No, memory's not sharp.
I will take Michigan here as well. I still believe in John Beilein and the Wolverines. The over-under in this game, Dave, is 134.5 points.
Well, the under is 25-11-1, the last 37 games the Hoosiers have played in. The under is 6-1, the last 7 Indiana home games. The under is 5-2-1, the last 8 Michigan road games. I want the under.
Both these teams average well over 134.5. I'm going to take the over.
I'll go under as well.
I'm also under.
I'm on the under here as well, and now I'm slightly concerned. Alex.
Under.
Okay, well, at least it's not going to cost me a ton of ground. The Pro Bowl is this weekend, gentlemen. The NFC is a 1-point favorite over the AFC. Scott Unash.
AFC. I always take the AFC. What is Dave? No, yeah. No, it's me. It's me. Just, yeah. All right, you get a 5-second timeout. All right, now you're up, Mark. Go
I'm
ahead.
An NFC guy. I got to go NFC.
I think the AFC has more guys who are going to be interested in playing defense. Give me the AFC.
I'm going to take
what defense?
Take the AFC here as well, Alex.
I don't think anybody's going to be interested in playing anything, so I'm going to go AFC, NFC, NFC for no particular reason. Give me the NFC.
And I'll take AFC.
The over is 57 points, Mark.
It's typically been over, but there's so many quality players not even involved in this game. I'm going to go under.
I believe I remember looking into this last year, and the under is a lot more successful in the Pro Bowl than you'd think. But with that said, I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm heading in the other direction on this trend. I used to always say bet the over on this game, but I'm going to take the under.
57 points, though? Oh, I think it's going to go way over.
I want the under.
Under. I'm going to go over.
All right. Our tiebreaker this week is total points scored by the Hawkeyes at Williams Arena this weekend against the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Kyle.
82.
I'm going to say 84.
I'll say 77.
76.
No, Dave's got the hang of this thing. Got the hang of this thing. 67.
Okay, if I'm close, tie for the lead, it's going to be Minnesota's points, right, Todd? Not Iowa's. 71.
He was kind. He could have taken 68 there and had a lot of ground to work with, but he ceded 3 points to the rest of the field. That's going to do it. 366-1600. We'll take 6 callers right now, and whoever picks the most successful prognosticator is going to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
All right. Dave, appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you tonight at Jefferson. Stay tuned for the Todd Bromkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection.